on, let's love the name of the Lord. Let's magnify Him tonight. We praise Your name. Oh, we praise Your name, Jesus. We praise Your name.
No one else like You.
Oh, Somebody give him high praise in this house. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Give him glory tonight. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a worthy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise
His name. Like Jesus.
His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Come on, we praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What does it mean?
What does it mean to be saved?
What does it mean to be His?
What does it mean to be His?
To be formed in His likeness.
Know that we have a purpose.
Oh yeah, to be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. To be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, say so, say so, say so.
Lift your voice and give Him glory in the house. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost tonight, give the Lord praise. Come on, give the Lord glory. Come on, say so tonight. In Jesus' name, declare it. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let's exalt his name together. Oh, I have been redeemed. I've been redeemed. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, if you're thankful for it, give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. Oh, we love you, Savior. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated tonight, asking our ushers to prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. Don't forget to personal time of daily devotion. Pray and read your Bible. Amen. Pray for the church family. Pray for our city. Pray for our valley and this nation. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Make sure you're doing your part to reach the lost. He that winneth souls is wise. The greatest position in the church is still that of a soul winner. Amen. Stay prayed up and invite somebody. Be redeemed and tell somebody about it. Amen. Be excited about your salvation. Tell somebody about it. Invite them to church. Invite them into your home. Invite them into your life. Amen. If you are looking forward to men's conference, say amen. Heard some ladies' voices in there. Praise God. Amen. Northwest Apostolic Men's Conference starts Friday night. Looking forward to that. Brother Miles Young, Brother Jeremy Wilbanks, Brother Daniel McDonald. Brother McDonald will be staying over with us the weekend. But all of you that are part of the sound and the music, please be there Friday to help us set up. We need that taken care of. And so let's be faithful to that. Amen. Let's not use this door over here to my left unless it's an absolute emergency. If there's a fire over there, you could go out that door. Other than that, you need the exercise. Go around. Praise God. Amen. Church cleanup, make sure you pick up and straighten up around you before you leave tonight. Let's be faithful to that in Jesus' name. Let's stand and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, to bless the gift and the giver tonight. Do it in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come. can we do it tonight? Come on, can we give him praise? Oh, we love you. We glorify you. Are you glad he woke you up this morning? Are you glad you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Oh, you're glad you're in the revival church. Oh, somebody ought to shout about that. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Who wouldn't want to be in a church like this? Last night, we were sitting in the new building, and I said, who would want to have to build a church like this? I guess it's us. Praise God. We're excited about that. Romans chapter 13, if you have your Bibles. See a lot of movement. Praise God. Excited about that too. Let me just say this without looking at anyone, without picking on anyone, without you thinking I don't love anybody. Let's please endeavor to keep our children inside the confines of the pews. I know in this building we have 6 aisles, and the next one we'll have 3. You never know when they're going to get run over. So let's try to confine them. I know we have escape routes in this building. But just so you know, we're going to have escape routes in the other one. The chairs will not be up against the wall. Some of y'all used to do that with your kids to hold them in. And now you got free-range kids. So we're going to have to just work on that. Don't let them think that's a norm. If you want to get out in the aisle, bring them down here in the front and shout with them. Well, that got quiet. I didn't hear any rousing amens with that one. But we just don't want them to get hurt. We don't want them to think this is a playhouse. Now, I know it's hard. We tell our kids not to run around, and then we run the aisles. We tell them to be quiet, and we shout. We tell them to sit down, and we can't sit down. But just tell them to watch some folks. They got all that figured out. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. If you don't realize we're in the last days, it's time to wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 12, said they that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Tonight we're going to talk about honesty. I still believe it's the best policy. But more importantly, I want to be honest with myself. I want to be honest with myself. Can we lift our hands in this house tonight? Come on, can we just ask the Lord to help us? By your spirit, by your mercy, by your grace, we worship you tonight, Jesus. Oh God, let us walk honestly as in the day. God, I pray. I feel the Holy Ghost already working right now in people's hearts and people's minds. We love you, Savior. We glorify you, my King. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Honestly, the Bible gives us a definition of the word honestly as decorously or decently. It comes from the word which means well-formed, decorous, noble in rank or honorable. I remember one time someone asked me to take care of the decorum in the church. And I thought to myself, well, someone surely can decorate better than me. Why would they ask me to do that? I didn't know the word decorum meant decent. Take care of the order. of service. Take care of the way we do things. The word goes on to let, the Bible tells us, let all things be done decently and in order. That means we need to do our worship honestly. We need to do our praise honestly. We need to do our prayer honestly. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. That means you're not asking honestly. You're asking for the wrong motives. You're asking for the wrong reasons. And so we want to walk honestly. We want to walk decently. We want everything to be done in order. Decorous characterizes by defined propriety in conduct, manners, appearance, character. From the word decorum, which means dignified or properly to behave, speech, dress, etc. The quality or state of being decorous or exhibiting such dignified properties, the orderliness of it all. 1 Timothy 3:15 said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. There is a way to behave ourselves in church. There's a way not to behave ourselves in church. There's certain decorum in a court session. I was just in jury duty not too long ago, and the way that you stand when the judge comes in, the way they want you to present yourself and act, and you can't chew gum, and you can't have a hat on, and you can't have your phone with you. There's certain things you can't do. How much more so in the house of God should we come in with an honest heart, an honest mind, an open heart, and an open mind to say, you know what, I might need to hear something tonight. I might need to correct myself tonight. I might need to engage myself tonight. Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's not just the pastor. Paul said that I want you to do it when I'm there, but even more so in my absence. There's nothing worse than worrying about if your kids are going to be good when there's somebody else. But if you're around long enough, you'll find out your kids usually do better with other people. They don't know if their no means no yet. Well, come on, let's quit meddling tonight. They don't know if what they say they really mean. I got quiet. Proving the honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I don't want somebody at work not to know I'm a Christian. I don't want somebody that I see in the grocery store not to know that I'm a Christian. I want to walk the way Jesus wants me to walk, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at school, whether I'm at home, no matter where I am. I'm providing honest things. That word providing means to consider in advance, to look out beforehand. It means that I'm going to be maintaining for others my walk. I don't want my good to be evil spoken of. I don't want them to get a false impression. The Bible said you shall be witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That means that no matter how you act or how you do, you're a witness one way or another. Either I'm a good witness or I'm a false witness. Either I'm an expert witness or I'm a lying witness. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Amen. I promise I want to tell the truth in the way I talk, in the way I walk, in the way I act, in the way I respond. I want to consider this in advance. I want to look beforehand. It means to maintain my ways and to circumspection of oneself. If Brother Thomas, that was just here one service, not even a whole service, if he did anything for our church, he put this mind in me about walking circumspectly before the Lord and before men. I want to try my steps. I don't want to just bulldoze through life. I don't want to just my way or the highway. I want to walk circumspectly. What does that really mean? It means walk honestly. Be what you say you are. Be what you talk about. Be how you raise your kids. Don't tell them do as I say and not as I do. Show them how to do it. Teach them how to do it. Be a part of their life and consider. See, then he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I want my family to see me walk honestly before the Lord. I want my family to see me walk honestly before men. I want my family to deal honestly with people. I want them to see that. I want them to know that that's how we do things. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation or behavior honest among the Gentiles. That's in the world too. Well, we can cheat them. They're not Christians. We can lie. They're not saved. We can lie on them. They're not living right. That's not godly. How are we going to win them? How are we going to do that? That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want them to say this. I may not have liked him. I may not have believed everything, but he walked what he lived. He lived what he talked. He was right. Everywhere I went, he lived the same way. He acted the same way. That word means beautiful. Handle yourself beautiful. Let your behavior be beautiful or good, morally or literally, valuable or virtuous for appearance or use. Is the things that I say and do, is it beautiful in the sight? Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. That communicate and forget not part, we need to preach on that a little while. Some folks are horrible communicators. They really are. They don't want to tell you what's in their head. They don't want to tell you what they're going through. They don't want to tell you their worries, their troubles, and then they just keep it all in. And then one day, the teapot boils over. You got to learn how to communicate. Forget not. And for with such sacrifices is God well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You can fool your pastor all you want. I'm a human being. I take people at face value. You tell me you're living for God, man, you're living for God. Now, there's some people I know aren't. I don't have to be a prophet or too spiritual for some folks. You could tell, you know. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people out there. But if you tell me you're living for God, I'm going to trust you're living for God. If you tell me you're praying, I'm going to trust you're praying. Now, I may be able to tell you need to pray more. You tell me you're reading your Bible, I'm trusting you're reading your Bible. You can fool me all of the time if you want to. But one day, we're going to have to give account. You and I are going to stand before God. And if you weren't living right, they told me they were. They said they were. They said this was the best they can do. Hey, if you're struggling, be honest with yourself. If you're struggling, be honest with your pastor. Be honest with your man of God. Come to him and say, I'm struggling. Pray for me. You don't have to confess your sins to me. I don't even want to know what you're struggling with. Just be honest with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, who can you be honest with? Because here's the deal. God knows. God knows when we're being truthful. Didn't Peter tell Ananias and Sapphira, you lied to the Holy Ghost? You're not lying to me. What he was telling them was, you could have told me that you sold this land for $3 million and wanted to give the church enough to pay for a parking lot, and we would have been happy. And we really would have been. But you want me to think you only sold it for that much. And you're going to keep the rest for yourself. You're not being honest with yourself. And you lied to the Holy Ghost. You can lie to me. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me. I'll probably believe it. So, Pastor, you're not very spiritual. Well, they're taking applications at the head office. If you're more spiritual than me, then by all means, we will fill out applications. In fact, come over to the church some Saturday and we'll fill out applications. You got to write it with a construction pen and a Sharpie and a hammer and whatever. But if you do and you get by with it, wonderful. Until. But you got to be honest with yourself, because the Bible says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. That means I want to behave myself. I want to busy myself with doing well morally. I want to busy myself with putting myself in a good place honestly. I want to make sure that I have good ground. I want to make sure I got a good heart. I want to make sure I got a good mind, because I'm not lying about my walk with God. I'm not lying about my faith. I'm living the best. And the best I can may not be perfect. This man falls short of being perfect every day, multiple times a day, and twice on Sunday, even though we only have one service. I got to talk myself into coming to church on Sunday nights. I understand how sometimes it's hard. It's hard. Can I be honest tonight? It's easier to come to church on Wednesdays when you've had stuff going on. You've been involved. You've been engaged. You've been doing. And you come in church as normal. After sitting at home all day on Sunday, trying to pray and study, after 6 and 7 and 8 hours, you just, it's hard to get motivated to come to church. Is that okay to be honest? But I come. But I show up. And I try to have good church. And I try to get my mind right. I try to get my spirit right. I want to behave. I want to focus. I want to try. And sometimes it takes a lot of work. Well, sometimes it takes a lot of effort. Sometimes it takes a lot of busying and behaving self and being used to get in a place where you can walk honestly. But if you want to prepare your heart, if you want to prepare your ground, if you want to prepare your heart to receive the word of God, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to break up that fallow ground. Amen. But that fell on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I'm just not getting it. Are you being honest with yourself? You're living it here. You're living it there. But are you living it? Are you living it everywhere? Are you trying with an open, honest heart to receive the word? The Bible said that was the good ground. That was the ground that received the word and produced fruit from it. If you're struggling year after year and decade after decade and you've never grown in God, you got to stop and be honest with yourself. Am I praying like I should? Am I fasting as often as I should? Am I reading my Bible? Am I obeying my pastor, not just in word, but in spirit? There is letter of the law and there is spirit of the law. Well, I'm doing what he said, but my heart's not. I'm doing what he said, but I really would rather not. But I'm doing it because I don't want to get in trouble. That's not an honest heart. If he's preaching, it's because the word of God says it. If he's saying to do this, it's because it lines up with scripture. So, God, I want an honest heart in my approach to things. Let no man deceive himself. It is one thing for others to deceive you. It is one thing for others to lie to you. It is one thing for somebody else to give you swelling words and sweet words and cunning, crafty words. It's another thing altogether when you deceive yourself, and I deceive myself. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. James 1:22 said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, I hear it. That's good preaching. That was good service. But what are you doing about it? Are you going home and saying, I need to change? I need to make some adjustments. If you go home and say, that was not for me, I'm fine. I got it all figured out. I don't really need a pastor. What you're really saying is, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. But I got to go because the Bible says go. I don't know if anybody thinks that way. I don't think so. But I just know what the Lord, I feel like the Lord laid on my heart this afternoon, is I got to be honest with myself. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. It's vain. It's empty. If we say we have no sin, any people here, anybody here that has no sin? Anybody here perfect? Lloyd's holding his hand down. And Jess is like, yeah, don't even try. Nobody here is perfect. Everybody's got sin. Everybody's got mistakes. Everybody's got failures. And I along with Brother Marks, would stop. We're in a good message to reach a backslider. I would love to see somebody, a prodigal, pray through. I'd love for somebody to come in and just run a whole service, and we just pray them through. Thank God for it. None of us are perfect. Even Paul said that I'm the chief among all sinners. None of us are perfect, but I don't want to deceive myself thinking I don't have anything to fix. Every day in an apostolic life ought to be constant adjustment. I've arrived. No, we have not. Until we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's a day of adjustment. It's a day of constant correction. It's a day of repentance. I die daily. I want to die out to self. I want to die out to my mindset. Well, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's going to happen. You can say, I got it figured out, but God knows. God keeps score. God keeps score. God has a tally book, and he knows what we've repented of, and he knows what we're working on, and he knows what we're trying to fix, and he knows what we've washed over. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, this is the reason why we don't just do foot washing communion half-heartedly. One year we fasted, we prayed, we were going to do communion, and I said, we're not ready for it. We're not ready for it. And we didn't do it. Why? Because the Bible says, if any man shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily, shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let him test himself. Let him discern of himself. And let him then so let him eat the bread and drink of that cup. It's not a problem to examine ourselves. The Bible says examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith or not. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that ye are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that ye should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. There's times we got to stop and say, you know what? I've got to examine my life, examine my choices, examine my mind, my heart, my soul. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word. I got to cleanse myself. I got to wash wash myself. I got to do something about what I'm seeing. If I have a judge my own self, I don't need to be judged. Can I tell you, most of us know our shortcomings. Most of us know our faults. Most of us know our failures. And God, show me, reveal them to me. Let me fix them. I don't want to have to be preached at because you couldn't show me in prayer. I don't want to have to be preached at because you couldn't show me in your word. God, let me judge myself and let me examine myself through prayer and through your word. That's right. We shouldn't have to come to church to get preached at and things out of our life. If we're praying like we say we are, if we're fasting like we're saying we are, if we're reading our Bible like we say we are, we're in the Word and we're getting convicted and we're getting pierced and we're getting pricked in our heart and we're seeing what we need to work on. Say, I don't need a pastor then. No, we do need a pastor because we're trying to grow a church and there are certain things we don't know. Faith coming by hearing. And we understand that word faith means a moral conviction of religious truth. It's not just easy believism. I need a pastor to preach to me some moral convictions. Well, I don't have a conviction over that. Well, you're not listening to the pastor. You're not listening to the word. But if you hear it and you pray over it and you read the Bible, you'll see it. You know what I would love to have? I'd love to have everybody get the revelation and convictions of their own self and through their prayer time and through their Bible reading time because then they can't blame it on me when they're struggling with it. God gave it to you. God showed it to you. Well, amen. I've preached on this, but this is a little deal here. The mountain never lies. One person said a ruck or a run doesn't care who you are, doesn't care about your rank, doesn't care who you think you are. It keeps you honest. Running up a mountain with a pack on, they don't care if you're a lieutenant, a private, a corporal, enlisted, unlisted. That mountain is going to prove who you are. If you say, I work out at the gym all the time and I exercise and I burn so many calories a day and I have so much cardio, well, then throw that pack on and run up that mountain. It will tell the truth. It will keep you honest. There's going to be struggles in life. They're going to come. It's going to try our faith. It's going to test our prayer life. Can I just say this tonight? There's going to be things the pastor preaches. There's going to be things the pastor expects that may test your faith. It may test your obedience. You know, the Bible was tells us that they trained up their children. They read this thing. That Moses told them these things, and they were supposed to do them even before they understood them. You go back to these Jewish scholars, they say, oh yeah, when they were living it, they were supposed to live it and obey it before it made sense to them. That's a trial of faith. That's a trial of honesty. Did God tell Moses to say this? I wasn't there. They weren't there. Only Moses was there. They had to trust that that's what he said. And so that mountain tested their faith. That submit yourselves and obey them to have the rule of you. Test your faith sometimes. But you got to understand, I know the man loves me. I know God loves me. I know I need to be saved. And is this really a mountain to die on? Well, I got to be honest with myself. I just know this because there's people in the house tonight. We're human beings. We're flesh and blood. There are times you leave this place or have left church before upset about what was said or preached. I don't agree with that. I don't understand that. Maybe it's not even a disagreement. It's a misunderstanding. You don't understand what's being preached. But this is where you got to say, you know what? I don't understand it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I'm going to be honest and I'm going to do what's being said to do. Because it keeps us on. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. To confess your sins, you got to be honest about your sin. Let us be honest with ourselves about our walk with God. You can't fool the mountain. Can I just say it this way? You can't fool Calvary. You can't fool the blood. You can't fool redemption. You can't fool the Savior that knows the thoughts and the intents, that knows the motives of the heart, that knows what we do in secret, what we do in private. We cannot. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I've been following a lot on Facebook, the mayor. In fact, the mayor of Nampa just followed me on Instagram. Crazy. Just followed me. And I'm getting ready to get rid of Instagram, and the mayor followed me. Now what do I do? Maybe just him and I will be on there. But I follow the mayor, the new mayor of Caldwell. And his whole thing is, you voted me in for change. You voted me in because you didn't like the way things were going. You voted in a mandate. But now that we're doing it, you don't like it. Now that we're implementing the change, it's rustling feathers. You want me to preach. You want me to pastor. I hope I'm not just your preacher. Come on, get that one. I hope I'm not just your preacher, but I hope I'm your pastor. You want me to tell you what you need to do to be saved. You want me to preach it, but sometimes it may come off a little bit stronger than we like, but you know what? We ask for this. We need this, and sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, it's exactly what I needed. And there is no doubt people have left upset and got home and realized, you know what? That's exactly what I needed, and that's why my flesh didn't like it. That's exactly what I needed to hear, and that's why my flesh wanted to rebel against it. But I got in the Holy Ghost, and I got in prayer. And if I'm honest with myself, that's exactly why we voted him in. That's exactly why I keep coming back. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. Think on the honest things. Think on the good things. Think on the just things. Think on the pure things. Think on the things that bring value. Think on the things that bring praise. Think on the things that are lovely and pure and of good report. Come on, be honest how you treat one another. Be honest how you act about one another. Be honest how you interact with one another. What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be honest. Be honest how you treat one another. But here's the whole point of all of this. Number one, we need to be saved. That's first and foremost. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. But what does honesty lead us to? I'm closing with this. Acts chapter 6. Honest men have true revival. Honest men, honest women, honest children, honest families have true revival. The Bible tells us, look out among you, seven men of honest report. That means we can't say anything bad about them. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing the right thing. They're living right, talking right, acting right. I mean, from what I can tell, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Would you not want to be ruled by an honest man? Would you not want to be run by an honest person? Would you not want... I don't want a corrupt person making decisions about my life. I don't want corrupt people making decisions about what I do with my income, my finances, and especially my soul. It pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and Philip, and all the others, and whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed for them, laid hands on them, the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great and wonderful, great wonders and miracles among the people. What would happen, church, if we were living and are living 100% honestly with ourselves, and all of a sudden the fruit of it? From Acts chapter 2, they added to the church. By Acts 6, they were multiplying. Can I just say this? We've been long enough adding. One here, one there. Been long enough adding. One here, one there. It's time to start multiplying. It's time to start living what we are, being what we say we are, living honestly before God. Come on. Can we be honest with ourselves tonight? I can pray more. I can outreach more. I can fast more. I can read my Bible more. I can show up for church more than I do. I can be involved more than I am. Come on. Can I be honest? If I'm honest with myself, I can push myself a little further than I have in what I do. Because if I'm honest with myself, that's where revival comes from. When I'm honest with myself, that's where new people come from. I'm living it 24/7. I'm living 365. And when I'm honest with myself... Hey, we need folks on Sunday night to pray other folks through. We need folks here on Sunday to help pray folks through. We got visitors coming. We got people coming. And we need folks involved in the altar work. We need folks involved in outreach. We need folks involved in praying. Why? If you're honest with ourselves, that's how revival. Oh, let's stand to our feet and lift our hands all over the house. Come on, let's say, God, right now, I can do more than I'm doing. I can be more than I'm being. And if I'm doing enough, let me do more. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, let's praise him. Let's glorify him. I want to be honest with myself. I want to be honest with my brothers and sisters. I want to be honest before God. I want to be honest with the man of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I don't want to just say the right thing. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to just know how to do it. I want to do it. Oh, when I'm by myself, when I'm in public, when I'm at church, when I'm at work, when I'm at school, wherever I am, God, I want to be an honest apostolic. I want to be an honest Pentecostal. Oh, reach out to him right now, church. Reach out to him. Pastor, I'm doing the best I can. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We just need to make sure we're doing it every day. We make sure we're doing it every day. Do I pray enough? Do I read my Bible enough? Am I focused enough on the things of God? Is living for God a priority to me? Is being in church a priority to me? to God. Praise God. Amen. We've been having, in fact, it's been miracles, really, truly. Honestly, it's been miracles. In the last just a few weeks, some of our men have changed jobs and got significant pay raises. And the hours of which their companies and their people are talking about opportunities to work, they've come to me and they've asked me, what do you think about it? And I said, look, I understand about making more money. We need to do that. Right now, we all do. I go, but nothing's more important than your family and church. You can't get so caught up in chasing a dollar, chasing a yearly income, that you're not living honestly with your family and your church. Have you done it before? I've done it before. I've done it where I've been forced to do it. But if I had the choice, my family and church came first. In fact, the Bible talks about they supposed riches with godliness. They thought, well, I'm being blessed. That's not godliness if we're not being honest with ourselves. And let me just say this: if you're talking to people and you're interacting with people, you may speak truth deceitfully. Half truth is a lie. Well, I got quiet. I hope we don't have any liars in the house. I was going to ask earlier today, do we have any liars in the house tonight? I don't think so. But not giving all the information, can I just tell you, is a lie. Not laying it all out. Now there is a balance to this. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. If someone asks you how they look, well, I got to be honest. Be nice. But what I'm saying is, people know when they're trying to sugarcoat. Just say enough. Don't say too much. You know, my pastor had a way of asking the right questions. I said, God, give me that wisdom. Let me just ask the right questions. And I got enough fear of God in me that I don't want to be an Ananias and Sapphira. I always thought if I lied to my pastor or misled my pastor, God was going to take me out. Some of you may have dodged some bullets. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, be honest. If you can't be honest with yourself, who can you be honest with? And if you're going to deceive yourself, what's the point? What's the point? You know? I'm not going to lie to myself and say that I'm dieting when I'm not, and I'm exercising when I'm not. You know? It's apparent to everybody else. Don't deceive yourself. Can I tell you, it's the same way living for God? Don't lie to yourself and tell you you're living for God if you're not doing it. Hey, we're busy. And we got a lot of stuff going on right now, but do we have time to pray? Are we still taking time to pray? Are we still reading our Bibles? Maybe you can't do it. Maybe you got to go to work so early in the morning you can't get up and do it. Maybe you have to do it in the afternoon. Maybe you have to do it in the evening. That's all right. As long as you're being honest, you got it in there. But you can't sacrifice everything else. What are you saying tonight, Pastor? Be honest with yourself. God, I could do better. God, I can do better. God, I need to do better. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Above all else, God. Above money, above riches, above wealth, above fame, above fortune. Above savings, because I'm going to tell you something. When that rapture takes place, it doesn't matter how much money you got in the savings account. Doesn't matter how much money you're making on a job. Doesn't matter how much. No, I want to make sure I make it. I want to make sure I make it. Come on, let's lift our hands all over this house tonight. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's dig deep tonight. Come on, let's dig deep tonight. Oh, Jesus. Come on, neglect not the gift. Don't despise the gift. Don't despise the church. Don't despise the things of God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We glorify you, Savior. We honor you today, dear God, by your mercy and by your grace. Come on, one more time. Lift your hands all over this house. Come on, just because he's good, just because he's good. Hey, God's merciful. God's merciful tonight. If we haven't been doing what we should be doing, God's merciful. If we confess our sins, if we're honest with ourselves, he's faithful and just. He's the only one that has to know. He's the only one you got to talk to. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we clap our hands to the Lord tonight? Can we thank him for his word? Can we thank him for his word tonight? He's so wonderful. He's so merciful. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are helping load the sound equipment and all of the musical instruments from the storage, we need you tomorrow night when you're off work, probably around 6 o'clock. Is that when you're doing it? 6 o'clock sound good? Contact either Carson or Connor. And then Friday, setting up for men's conference. It'll be a great time Friday night, Saturday. And then just come to church Sunday night, expecting. Invite someone. Invite someone to the house of God. And let's get behind the preaching. He's coming all the way from Shelbyville, Indiana. And he's staying over all day Sunday to be with us Sunday night. And I gave him the option. I said, you don't have to do it if you'd rather be home to your own church. He said, no, I need to be there. I need to be there. So let's take that as a word from God. Let's be faithful to it. Let's get involved. Amen. Greet somebody before you leave tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.